What's up, guys? Welcome to the Modern Backpacking Podcast. It's Damon O'Neill here. Today's episode is an amazing episode with Lauren Cullen Gomez. She's an English girl who I found out was also half Colombian, who I met in Costa Rica. And we had a great conversation about all sorts of things. She was a female traveling alone. And she was talking about how much she grew over the few months that she was traveling, how much she got independent, and how she wants to be the person not to look down on people who haven't traveled but or done something different to grow as a person, but to be the person to show them that it's actually possible to do it for a solo female traveler, for example. We talk about loads of things about Colombian and their passion, and how her mum also made the British newspaper for marrying a Colombian. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It's a great episode. I had great fun recording it. Lauren's a great girl, and she's also going to the University of Cambridge this September, so she'll actually be there now. Wow. So good luck to Lauren. Thanks to Lauren, and we'll see you on the next episode. I mean, everyone wants to talk, really. Like, if somebody's sitting out on the sofa by themselves, if you went up and spoke to them, they're probably going to talk back and have a conversation and get a podcast-worthy conversation. Just saying.
You need someone who's a bit loud to break the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Break barrier.
Well, I'm sort of. It's cheap as well. So people come, like,
yeah,
it's not much. If somebody wants to risk getting a bus to the airport from somewhere else in the morning, they might as well just pay the $7 here and go to the airport.
Mm.
Even though the airport's not in San Jose, it's in Alajuela.
Yeah, the phone was when I came, when I arrived in Costa Rica, I just said in whatever, because I was getting an internal flight to the other place, to Puerto Jimenez, to the Oscar Peninsula. So I just sat around there, I was just on my phone that whole night, I was quite tired. But then I got the bus back, because that's really nice. So you see so much of the countryside and stuff. It's so green.
To where? When you got the flight? Or when you got the bus to...
I got the bus back and I flew there.
Okay.
So I flew there, which was cool, and only an hour. And then I got the bus back, which was like 10 hours.
So where were you?
In the Oscar Peninsula, like more south.
It's near Drake Bay.
I don't actually know, to be honest.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's... What were you doing? Was it something to do with...
Turtles,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's doing that. It's really nice, actually. I wish I'd stayed for a bit longer.
What were you doing?
We'd go on surveys and, like, try to spot the animals. They're trying to survey how climate change is affecting it, like, the environment there and stuff.
What was it, a company?
It was, It's a volunteer thing, but they have people who are doing dissertations or like scientists who are working there as well.
Ticos? Costa Ricans?
No.
Oh, international?
Yeah, internationals, like Americans.
So were you volunteering?
Yeah.
Did you pay?
Yeah.
Why did you roll your eyes when you paid?
Because I don't like... Because in England, whenever you think of volunteering, you do pay like quite a lot. But then travelling before, I've heard of all this other volunteering where you don't have to pay to do it. You do just give your time. Anything, and maybe you pay for your own food and stuff, and that's chill. But I prefer that a bit, because I feel like if you're volunteering, definitely raise money to, like, donate to the cause, but it feels more like you're paying for the business side of it. I don't know.
Did you have to pay for food?
No, that was included. But the amount that you paid, the amount that you paid, it was like...
Did you pay an agency, yeah?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we'll cover your food and accommodation.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You don't want to come to this dangerous Costa Rican place.
Without having all that.
And of course, they insured you as well, did they? Or did you get insurance with your payment? Or
no, doesn't that include insurance? But you are in the middle of the jungle, so for ease, I guess, paying for food and stuff. But I think it was quite pricey for what it was. I mean, but I really enjoyed it. I'd probably go back and do it again.
How long were you there for?
Only 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
2 months, but it was too expensive.
If you went back again, sorry, you said you'd go back. If you went back, would you pay again? Or do you have a contact? You'd be like, oh, can I come back?
I think I would maybe ask for like an internship or something. they do take interns.
Surely they do.
Yeah, they do. So maybe I try that or something. If not, maybe I'd want to again play.
You know what, I think it's more difficult. The turtle business, let's call it, it's not really something that I've looked into, but I think a lot of people want to do it. So
yeah,
the turtle reservations or whatever, they would only work with these agencies.
Yeah.
Like the one you paid. Who was it?
It was Frontier. It was really good. Like, the people who worked there like were lovely. And it was quite chilled and laid back and stuff. But it was just quite pricey. It was like, would have been like 2 months of travelling if I'd been in Asia or something.
Rather than
2 weeks. And to be fair, though, Costa Rica is so expensive. I didn't realize how expensive until I turned up. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
we came from Nicaragua to Costa Rica.
Oh, you were in Nicaragua before here?
And
did you leave because of...
No, we just missed it, to be fair, yeah, so it was alright. But we, when we first came, it was, you said you haven't eaten Costa Rican food. Well, like, casado is typical. It's like rice, chicken or fish or veg or whatever, with salad, beans, picadillo, which is potatoes and a bit of sauce.
Nice.
And it was like 3,000, and we were looking everywhere to make sure nothing more than 3,000, because... that's like $6 or something.
Yeah,
in Nicaragua, we were getting a nice chicken and rice for $2 or $3. A beer was less than $1.
In Indonesia, like I'd have a proper like, filling meal for 70p.
Where?
Indonesia.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, this is. Easily do £15 a day in Indonesia. That was like nothing. That was fine.
Yeah.
And then coming here, it's like. three meals or something, or
it's so much more.
It was surprising. So maybe that, even with the weather, quarantine was a bit more expensive, but I don't know, but it was really, really good fun. They'd like, on the first week, you just do surveys, you go out, like, see all the wildlife spot, you see amazing animals and stuff, read all the time, it was really nice. And the second week, we took in some puppies, and they were the, actually, I'm going to show you a video. The day that I left, I love dogs, I'm such a dog person. But we had four puppies that we had to look after because the mom kind of just kept disappearing. And on my last day, I was just kind of lying. They just pulled them on the hammock with me, and they were just so sweet. And they just all fell asleep. Just
all on you?
All on me.
How many were there?
There was four. I'm just so smug at the end. I know I am, but it's just like... Yeah, everyone's really nice and relaxed.
Did you live in a house with everyone, yeah?
Like, I wouldn't call it a house, you didn't really have walls, but it was like, it was a camp. And you had netting, which were the walls, but...
The walls of the building, rather than a bedroom. I mean,
yes.
It was just one, yeah?
We had like a kitchen. No, I don't know why I did that. I say like that because there's like no walls, but a kitchen, a common room, a like... They had like a spare room, like science room, and then like three different places where people can stay, and in each one you could fit like 12 people.
Oh wow! So
I mean, it was quite compact, and
they squeeze you in a bit, do they?
Like if it was full, then yeah, but like you wouldn't have to. We never had like 12 people in one lodge. Like, I had 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, I've done it all myself.
Yeah. Well done.
Definitely worth it.
Was there a lot of English and Americans? Germans, probably.
In that place, so many Brits.
Really?
Yeah, so many
Brits.
Wow. So many. A couple of Americans. Well, the day that I left, a Belgian arrived, but no, it's very much British, mostly.
Was he a British agency?
I'm not sure. I think they're based in England, yeah.
Probably makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you like it? That it was all Brit?
It was fun, like, it was a change, just because, like, other places that I'd been, it was, like, not in a bad way, but it was all Germans and stuff like that, so it was just, like, just different to what I was used to now at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been at the beginning of the trip, I would have been a bit like, no, like, I want to have a bit more of a mix.
Yeah.
But seeing if it was the end, it was, like, it was fine.
So what's the trip? What do you refer to as the trip?
The trip. it's 5 months in total, and so I started in mid-January, and I first went to Nepal for 10 days.
All by yourself?
Actually, no, there I brought my mum. She'd never been to Nepal. And so I was like, do you want to come?
Did you bring her or did she bring you?
I brought her. I brought her. Definitely. And then we went to, well, no, I then left and went to the Philippines and then Indonesia. And then I had a couple of days in Sydney because I was flying around. And then went to Buenos Aires for a couple of days and then went to the very, very south. And went like, to Patagonia and was hiking. And then went up to Chile, Bolivia, Peru.
Did you really? Oh, I didn't know this. Obviously.
Yeah, no, it's been so much fun.
You're quite upbeat considering you're going home tomorrow.
I know. I don't know why. Like, it's been so much fun. But I think I'm ready to, like, see my dog.
See your dog.
No, I need to. Because I'm going to uni in October. So I need some time to, like.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay, right, yeah.
Mm. So, just to sort everything out and see friends.
So, you've taken a gap year?
Very much, yeah, a gap year. Nice and classic.
So, what, because we wanted to go to South America. Our trip was to South America. I've been with two friends. But we didn't make it to South America in 6 months. So now.
Where did you start?
In Mexico.
Yeah, I think you always need more time than you initially think. Especially because, like, holidays that you normally have, like, you don't normally get so much time off, is, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's like, oh, I went to that country. So you think that you can do, like, a country nap, but then...
But really, only you just skip, don't you?
And then you don't
If you meet somebody, when you're, like, this sort of trip, if you meet someone, you can stay, can't you, rather than...
Yeah, definitely. Like, in Chile, I spent 6 weeks, I could have easily spent more.
It was in one place, or...?
No, I was travelling up through it, and, like, in the south, in Patagonia, you can spend so long. I think I spent, like, 3 weeks, and I could have spent a couple months, probably, just there's so much hiking, it's so gorgeous, like, it's stunning. Well, it's a bit expensive. very expensive. And then you go, like, Chile, I'd say, with my... I loved all of them, but I'd say Chile with perhaps my favourite... Just because it's like the landscape there is unbelievable. It's just.
Yeah.
And it's such a range. It's like in the very south, you have like all the mountains and these like amazing blue lakes, just gorgeous. And you go up and it's volcanoes. Then it's really cool cities like Santiago and Valparaiso. And then it's like vineyards and then it's a desert. So it's just such a range that you can't really get bored. It's really, really like really good fun. And actually, my brother dropped out of uni. And so I invited him to come join me for a couple of weeks. So he came with me in the north of Chile. We went into Bolivia.
Yeah.
And did that together, which was really good fun.
How old is he?
He is 20.
Are you close then?
Yeah, really close.
That's good. Very close. Love that.
Yeah.
Bloody love family.
I know. Yeah, no, really close. So we're actually going to the same. So he dropped out and we applied to other unis. He's actually going to the same uni as me in October. So.
Same course.
No, but similar. He's doing engineering, not doing physics, so it's like... But, no, it's fine. And we're in different, like, colleges, so it's alright. Although, if we're going to the same college, I think that'd be too much. Like, you'd have to leave me, Simon, but...
Yeah.
It's fine.
Give yourself a breather.
Yeah. Well, that should be good. Matriculate, everything together. But he's gone to Australia at the moment, so... We're just kind of...
Split. Did he go home after Bolivia?
No, he... We split, like... The beginning of Peru, and he had 40 hours of travelling to get to Australia. I know, a lot of blows, and I just carried on through Peru.
Yeah.
But he's got like 6 weeks to do one coast in Australia.
Yeah.
And I just went and I had the Inca Trail and stuff like that booked. So.
Yeah, so you were gonna go there.
Yeah.
And wait, so I heard you say you were going on holiday with your family when you get home.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a good little softener.
Yeah.
That's a good way to ease,
like,
back in.
I'm so, everything that I've got, like, for the past 5 months and until, like, I think the end of the year even, like, there's so much to do and I'm excited for every single part, but I'm excited for what's next. Like, doing this, going home and seeing friends, family, going away with a couple of friends, and then going away with my family, and then preparing for uni. So my brain has gone to mush in the past year. It's awful. Can't do any maths. But anyways, I'll prepare for that and then go to uni and all stuff. Like, it's a lot of things to look forward to. Yeah, we're going in end of July. We're going to Japan, which is quite cool. So
it's been a family holiday.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
before.
Going to travel.
Japan and my family were there, yeah, that's a good one, I like that.
Yeah, no, my parents, like, they love travelling, we like seeing new places and stuff.
Yeah,
my brother loves Japan, just loves it.
Your brother?
Yeah, my younger one.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but somehow he, like, got obsessed with it, so.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Two brothers.
How old is the little one?
He is 15. His due to season at
home. Really?
Yeah. He asked me for help with a question, and this is why I say that my brain's gone to mush, because I couldn't answer it. And I meant to have done, like, A-level further maths, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I can't do this, so I've got to
practice. Practice.
Hey.
Pamela!
I just thought Gavin stays in.
Yeah, that's us. Pamela! She knows what Pamela means! I was telling her, I was like, what's your name? And she said, Pamela. And I was a bit like, and she said, well, in America it's Pamela, but here it's Pamela. And I was like, oh, that's funny, because in England it's Pamela.
Yeah.
It's because of Gavin and Stacey, but I don't think, nobody else has, I don't think there's been a Brit in who has seen Gavin and Stacey.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, well, we haven't had many in.
Oh,
there's
okay.
A couple of, the Scottish girl hadn't watched it, but I think the lad had, but he wasn't there.
Oh,
yeah.
I love Gavin Stacey.
Well, yeah. Well, he's from... James Corden's from Essex.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm from Essex. So, Mass or Menos.
Right about.
So, what is a... Oh, so you're doing physics at uni. What uni are you going to?
Cambridge, in October.
Oh, really, yeah?
See how that goes.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Are you excited?
Yeah. I just think it's going to hit me like a brick wall, just because, don't know, we'll see. I'm like, a little bit nervous, like, you know, the stereotype, what people are like there. And
stereotype, then?
I know, it is.
Have you made a lot of friends when you've been travelling?
Yeah, like, just...
Did you have a stereotype of what people were like when they were travelling in your head before you travelled?
I don't know. I don't feel like I did, because I always wanted to travel. I mean, no.
Did you think you were the stereotype? That's fine.
I didn't think I fit the stereotype. The stereotype is, you know, very like. But no, I've.
Go on, say it.
I thinking they're really deep all the time and stuff like that. But I didn't expect that, and I've only met like two people that perhaps were like that. And I remember them because they stood out, because the majority of people were just not. Trying to like be too deep all the time or feeling superior. But there was one guy I met who was very...
Right, so what's it like? Thinking too deep?
Like, no, thinking like that they're superior in like a deep... I don't know how to put it, like a deep way is what I kind of had a stereotype in my head. As though like they're just more knowledgeable and like they just know
because...
the world. Because they've just travelled so much and blah, blah, blah. And I met one guy who was... who filled that to a T. Like, as in he just felt he was... so superior to everyone because he'd had so many more adventures and I was like,
so wait, so just so I can understand what you mean a little bit, that when you go like this, is it because they're like spiritual and they do yoga every morning, that type of I'm deep in my thoughts and spirituality, or just they think they're really cool because they've travelled more.
More like that, yeah.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, they think they're much cooler and just know a lot more because they've travelled so much more. And it's like, all right, maybe you do know more. I mean, when you travel, you do learn more things, but to know they would use it as like a superior thing. And I met one guy who was like that.
Where?
I was in Australia.
Where's he from?
No, I'm sorry, I was in Indonesia. He was Australian, but living in Thailand. And he was just... like, he would just go saying all these stories about like, all these hookers and stuff like that, and I was like, alright, cool.
You're odd.
Yeah, and like, hard guy. And like, bragging about things and how he can always tell if it's a lady bot or not, and then saying how, like, he likes to call himself. I'm gonna try and impersonate him, I can't do it. He was like, yeah, and I'm like what I like to call a citizen of the world, and I was like, okay. He was like, just when you've like lived so much and had so many experiences, so many adventures, you just. Just kind of level, and I was like, oh god. And he was like, and you can tell someone else is, and you can't call yourself, but you can tell someone else is in the world, and you just have a connection, it's just right there. And I was like,
what an
okay. And then he was like, and he's like, I've just lived through so much that I never problems, which I never thought I'd have, and it's that my stories are so wild, they're so out there, that I can't tell anyone because they don't believe me. And so I just don't tell them the stories. No, and I was like, shut up. Like, and this was after he told me all these stories, so no one ever believes me.
Did you believe it?
No. To be honest, no. Okay, at first I was, and then he said that, and I was like, now I don't think I believe you. But yeah, they are so few and far between that, like, I wouldn't want that to stop people, like, going around and travelling just because they think everyone's going to be like that.
Do you think people do?
I think so. And, like, I'm also cautious about going back.
And being that person. Yeah, yeah, I was just gonna say.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, it often happens, even... it is that. I know exactly what you mean. And people then think, oh, he just thinks he goes where this place and that place.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm a chat job.
Yeah, no, like, I was speaking to my friend about it, and my friend was like, tell me if I'm, like, being an idiot, and I come back and I'm just like, oh, yeah, my Gabriella did this, something like that. Like,
yeah, but also, it's not about, so some people will think they're better, but it's not thinking you're better and looking down on people, it's believing that you've had a great experience that you want to share with people, and you want them you want them to go on an adventure like that as well, or experience something, even if it's just for 2 weeks of one thing you did in Costa Rica, like the volunteering, for example. You could be like, honestly, you'd love it. This,
yeah, like, that's kind of thing. I think is different. Yeah, if you're like talking about it but in a way that's not showing off with it, is what I'm thinking.
Not looking,
like,
down.
Yeah, not looking down on us from having done it. It's
because,
like,
some people don't travel, quote unquote. But they don't know what they don't know, so they don't know what it's like. I haven't gone and done volunteering in a tour with turtles.
No, conservation shitty thing.
No, but I haven't. But I've done a lot of volunteering, but I haven't done something like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I don't know. But I'm sure it'd be good. But it doesn't sort of appeal to me massively. But as in speaking to people like you, there's loads of people come through this hostel. They go to Tour de Guerrero or over there where you were, which I can't say pronounce. And, I'd be game for it. I don't think I'd pay for it, though, personally. But I agree. Be careful of that when you go home. But it does, people probably think, they'll be like, without even realising it, when you go home, people will say, oh, she's mature, she's not different as in negatively different, but she's different, she's more mature, she's blah, 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 this and that. And but as long as you're yourself and you're not trying to be somebody who looks down on them, for example, but you're just yourself, because you do grow when you go travelling, for example, then they'll see it as a positive way. Because, I mean, you're still young, so...
And especially think, like, doing it... Because, I mean, even at home, we're always quite independent. Like, my parents are never mollycoddling or anything. They kind of just let us do what we wanted, but we were never dicks about it. But still, like, doing this is very different to being at home. Like, it's just, especially travelling alone, it's just, like, it's all on you. And that does give you a lot more independence. So I'd love to go back and tell all my girlfriends, like, please travel and try to do it alone. Because they're all, like, to me, for some reason, I don't know why, I've always wanted to go away and I always wanted to do it alone. And I had no idea where that came from. When I was mentioning it at home, they're like, traveling alone as a girl, like, that's such a bad idea, like, it's so dangerous, like, and you're gonna get lonely all the time, blah blah blah. And that's not how I pictured it at all. But so many people were so like, what are you doing? That made me think, maybe I'm making a bad decision, but I still did it. And I'm so glad that I did it alone. And I'd love to go tell, like, other people to.
I bet you met other solo travellers, yeah?
Yeah, you did. Not so many, not loads of solo girls.
Yeah.
Like, usually in pairs, but not loads of solo people in general, to be honest. But
really?
Yeah, but fewer girls, I found.
Yeah.
So I'd love to go back and just tell, like, all my friends that are girls, and be like, just do it. Like, it makes you feel so much more in yourself.
It's funny, though, that you said, but I was talking to someone earlier about this, about how you perceive something. We were talking about that painting there with another guy. Don't you think that looks like it's trying to be the UK? Well, I perceive it like that.
Okay, fair.
But obviously some people don't. But you were saying you in your mind, you thought solo travel, like this, that, and everything was positive, really.
Yeah.
But other people would be like, dangerous, oh, don't do it. You get lonely. And I mean, I don't think I would think of lonely.
I never thought of lonely. And then yeah. I grew up and they were like, oh, you're just going to be alone all the time. And I was like, that's not how I was imagining it. I was just imagining like meeting people and talking.
It just shows, like, you shouldn't listen to other people when they're trying to bring you back from doing something. And it's not just travelling either. It's like, if you want to go out and do something, it sounds like you felt like it was a good thing to do for you.
Yeah.
And you really wanted to do it.
Mm.
I mean, you sound like a sensible enough girl where you were going to stay, like, not do anything too silly when you're abroad. So you're not going to put yourself in danger as such.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously you might have to be aware of that sometimes, but you have to be aware of that if you walk around London.
Yeah, that's definitely what I was thinking. I was like, a bad thing can happen in London as much as it can happen, like, somewhere in South America if I'm not careful. And, like, in general, at the beginning, obviously, it was like at the beginning, I hadn't done it before. I was far more hyper aware. Like, I still have to be careful, I know that. But also, not everyone's out to get you. Like, it's not.
Yeah, there's nice people in the world.
At home, like.
What, South America?
Tourists, like,
or.
Also, like, my Colombian family was so like, oh my god, I can't believe you're travelling alone. Because, especially in Colombia, it's improved a lot now. But before, you know, far more dangerous.
Yeah.
And there was just so much shit that you couldn't do. So the idea of me travelling alone in South America, which they kind of painted with the same brush, was like,
yeah,
what the fuck are you doing? Like, all these things that they were warning about that I'd never even thought about. Like,
yeah.
In England, I know we're quite lucky. We're
of course,
safe
yeah.
And stuff. And I remember my cousin who's Colombian and studying in London, and she was just listing all the stuff which I shouldn't do that I would never have thought twice of. Like, there's this drug that if you inhale, you become completely, like, submissive in a way, like you do whatever they ask of you,
yeah,
and you won't remember it after doing it. So it kind of was going round, and she was like, okay, if anyone asks you to point somewhere on a map, don't do it or do it with a pen, because sometimes they put it on the map and then you bring it up and you inhale it, and then they can ask you to do whatever they want, like take out all the money from your bank account, blah blah blah, and then you'll suddenly come around and not know what's happened. And all these things, I was like, I would never thought about that on a map. I would have just pointed, or if I didn't know, I would have just, like...
But when you know too much, it stops you from doing stuff,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
it?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, you know what? This can happen anyway, just go with it.
If you think, when you know so much, you know all of the bad things that could happen.
Mm. And any time I have had something gone wrong, I've just met, like, the loveliest people in the world that have helped me.
Yeah.
Like, gone above and beyond what I would expect anyone to
locals
do.
Locals or...
Yeah, locals. Tourists. Trying to think about every time. Yeah, I think they're pretty much every time just locals, and it was like, can't believe the extent. Like, in England, like, I'd help someone out, but how far they were going with it, I was just like, oh my god. Like,
no, then, Latinos are more friendly than English.
Yeah.
But that's another conversation.
Yeah.
What the. So, has something gone wrong?
Well, like, when I was in Indonesia, it makes me sound so dumb. So, I was in the island Java, and I did like these three volcano hikes, and we did them. I did it with a friend that I met in Indonesia, and we did the three volcano hikes perhaps in like a week or something, and they're all like night hikes. In that week, I had absolutely no sleep. I was going like a million miles an hour. I had like, I don't know, like 10 hours sleep on the week, like in the week or something.
Yeah.
No sleep because you hike during the night. So we did the first one, which was stunning. Very difficult, the second one. And then the third one, I was carrying the food for everyone in my bag, and we were staying in like a really dodgy place, and I was like, I'm just going to bring my passport in case, because I couldn't lock my passport thing anymore. So we climb up in the night, I know, we go to see the blue fire. Have you heard of blue fire?
No.
Phenomenon where, I can't remember what chemical was. Basically, it just looks like blue fire.
Okay.
And you have to go in the dark to see it, and also there's sulfur, so you... Somebody's not allowed to hike in the day. So I go down there, I get all my food out, and give it to everyone, and accidentally my passport and my debit cards and everything in the fanny pack fall out. I didn't notice. Went up to viewpoint, went down, slept, and was packing to go to Bali, and I was like, oh, I've got a passport, that's great. And so I went back to the car that we do, looked it all in there, was trying to find a number online, was trying to find out about the British consulate, and the closest one was in Bali. But the consulates only work 12 hours a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 to 12. And I work, which is like nothing. I know. And in Bali. And I found out like 12:30 on the Friday, so I had to wait all the way to Monday until I could even. And so I was like, just resigned to the fact that I lost it. and I was walking back, and I asked this local guy, I was like, so do you know if there's like a number or something, maybe with a lost property? It was very far-fetched, of course there was.
Was this a guy on the tour?
No, just a random guy that was at the hostel. I think he worked
okay.
there.
So lost property for what? The whole island? Yeah.
No, just for the volcano, because it was like an organised volcano. As in like, yeah,
tour,
it was very popular.
Yeah, okay.
It was very popular there. And he was like, no, why? And I said that I'd lost my passport. And he just freaked the fuck out. Like, he was going crazy. And I kept pretty calm throughout all of this. I was like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
And he just went mad. I was like, oh no, like, why is it so bad? Like, I knew it would be expensive, buying a new and everything. And he was like, you can't get to Bali without your passport. Because they know they're a foreigner, you can't bribe them. He was saying how he'd had that happen to a Russian guy, like, a few weeks before, and he had to pay like £800, £500 in bribes.
Oh,
by head.
Cool.
And I was like, don't have that money. Okay, that's great. And so then he drove me back to the volcano, which was 2 hours on his moped in the rain. We got there like 6 p.m. I had no phone, no book, nothing, and it was freezing. I don't know why that night got really cold. And they wouldn't let us start hiking till 1 a.m. in the morning, so we had to spend like 7 hours. And I was trying to...
So what, he was bringing you up to just find it again?
Just to help find it, drove me all the way, missed a bit of work, well, a lot of work the next day actually, but then we just had to like sit there by the fire, I was trying to sleep on this bloody wooden plank, I was so cold. And then he hiked back up with me, looked in one part while I looked in the other, and in this volcano, so he was being really lovely, and then also in the volcano, with sulfur, the miners there, who have to mine the sulfur, and they carry like 80 kilograms in their shoulders, like,
wow.
It's ridiculous. Every step looks like impossible. Tough. And they get paid very little, so they try to sell these little sulfur like figurines to you. And this one guy started trying to do it, and I was like, oh, like, I'm really sorry, but passaporte, like, lost. And when he realised what I was saying, and he's like, oh, like, no, I think my face just dropped because I was so fed up, and I had like no sleep, I was just a bit stressed. And he saw my face just drop. And he had this little, like, turtle figurine. He just kind of looked at it and looked at me and then was just like, oh, for you.
Really?
Like, the fact that you feel sorry for me when I'm just an idiotic Westerner that's lost their fucking passport and he was there with, like, this massive... that little nice thing. And then we went out and couldn't find it. And I was kind of resigned to it. And then going back down, the guy that brought me there kept, like, asking all the miners, like, have you seen it? And one guy found it in the middle of a volcano.
Really?
And I was like...
did he have it on him?
Well, not completely. He said he had it back at his house, but he never met us. Then we had to drive around the villages for a couple of hours. Turns out about 5 people had the same name as him. So no one tore their houses. And then went to his wife was there, he wasn't able to go back later. But in the end, I had to bribe him a bit to give it back. But
in a way, you would have had to pay all sorts to get a new one.
Exactly. It was £25 worth of bribe compared to £100 for new passport.
Oh, that's 20, probably going to save it more than that.
No.
I didn't want to ask because I thought you might not want to admit it.
I was like, the actual money there, I forgot the conversion, so he said like thousands. I was like, how much? And I was like, no. And then I looked at it, I was like, fair.
Straight away,
just
give him
it.
Double.
Like, take it all you want. Like, yeah, so like the local guy driving me around, he had to miss work the next day doing it, so I tried to cover that cost of it because the boss was quite pissed off, he met us back at the hostel. We just went like above and beyond, we just didn't need to do all that for a stupid girl that lost her passport in volcano.
Yeah.
And like little things that happened like that throughout the other way, like people just being so, so ridiculously lovely.
Some nice people in the world, huh?
Yeah, surprisingly, shockingly, even though you don't hear about it when
you're
home. Yeah,
you don't hear about the good stuff.
The only time there's been anything like, oh, this is gonna like fuck up the trip for a little while, people have just been really, really lovely, so it's quite nice to see as well.
I had a really bad
experience too.
I often think when bad stuff happens, you can always learn something from it anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if it's just that for you to tell that story.
Yeah.
It's a good story to tell, and then you help somebody, one of their miners, because you give them 25 quid, which is a lot to them.
It was, yeah,
and
a ton for them. And it was just kind of really nice. And also, I was thinking, if we were driving around the villagers trying to find him, and I was shattered, but it was also a very pretty little village I would never have seen otherwise.
Oh, and, yeah, so there you go.
And I was like, they were all staring out the window, because white people don't seem to go around there very much. And when we went back, when he had gone back to his home, and he had these two little daughters, and they just, they were just going crazy. Like, they were just giggling and all the stuff. They kept hiding from me.
Because of you?
Because of me, just looking at, like, seeing the white skin. I was like, oh, this is quite, I don't know, quite a cool experience
anyway.
Which came from a stressful experience, but I'm glad it happened in the end. Even though I was very stressed at the time, it was definitely worth it.
There might be someone listening to this who has lost their passport, and they know that there's a possibility they can get it back.
There's a possibility.
Because there's friendly people in the world. No matter where you are in the world, people will help you out.
Yeah, that
would
be nice.
So are you Colombian? You're Colombian.
Yeah, half.
Who?
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad's from there.
What, was he born there and grew up there?
Well, I lived there till I was 4. I was actually,
did you really?
Yeah, I was actually born in England, but that's just because my mum wanted.
Wanted.
One kid born in England. My two brothers are born in Colombia. But yeah, no, I lived there till the age of 4.
Really? Where?
In Bogota.
Yeah.
In the capital.
So Spanish is your mother tongue?
Yeah, I know. It was my first language.
Your first language.
But not my mother tongue now. When we moved over, so we had a very rushed move to England, and when we arrived, I didn't know any English. And I was going to school and sitting there just daydreaming the whole time.
That's so funny.
I know.
But I said your Spanish was good, though. Obviously, you have an advantage.
Yeah, the listening.
I thought I spoke some good Spanish for the Brit in the hostel.
Yeah, I know. When I speak, people are like, you're actually from England, just because English people do. This is another thing.
When I said where you from and you said Inglaterra, I thought, hang on, most English wouldn't really start to speak Spanish when they come into the hospital.
Yeah.
Especially
we have quite a bad stereotype for second languages. Everyone's like, but the English don't really speak another language.
Well,
like,
of course, yeah, we're very lazy. No need to.
Some of us try. So I lived there till age 4 and then moved to England. And my parents were like, right, guys, you need to speak English at home because you're not understanding anything at school. And then we never went back, so I lost the Spanish, which is a real shame.
So you never spoke it at home?
No, completely.
So where did you learn it?
School.
Okay, what, secondary school?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you must have had a bit of an advantage.
I think I found listening easier because I was just used to hearing that kind of thing
in
the background.
An accent, maybe.
But my level of vocabulary and grammar and stuff like that was...
Do you speak fluent?
No. No, it was at the level of when I was learning. So, when I did it for A-level, I'd say it was at A-level.
What, now?
Yeah. So, I mean,
really?
It's improved on this trip.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah. Well, how long have you spent in Latin America?
3 months in total.
Yeah, so then...
So just...
Knowing it before and then spending 3 months.
It's something like, if you get the basic of a language and then you go there, it's like a snowball. You just pick up words after words. And also, I hated speaking. In my exams and everything, my writing, reading, listening would be really, really good, and speaking would be my shit, just because I didn't have the confidence to... I was just so embarrassed about making the mistakes, which is dumb. I know it's stupid.
Yeah.
But I was just so embarrassed about doing it, and especially with my family, I felt so embarrassed at the fact that I was half Colombian and I couldn't speak Spanish like a native. So I would just never speak it. And so coming here, I was like, you need to fucking learn. And I don't really care what strangers thought. And it's definitely improved a lot with that. Like, I would never speak Spanish before. Like, just not even to my family, try. And now, I'll do it. Just because, it doesn't matter if I make a mistake. As long as you understand me, it's fine.
Yeah, of course. But that stops me improving because people understand me. But I'm saying it incorrectly.
Yeah. I know, actually.
They know what I mean. They don't.
Yeah, they know what you mean, so it's like just the main part. It's like, if you actually want to improve, I kind of say to people, like, correct me every time. Just correct me, I won't take it badly.
Well, do you correct people on English?
No, not the thing.
Well, it's funny. So, I always correct people on English, and if an English person is there, they often think, that they give me the look, thinking, how rude is that to correct them because they don't put an I or an E on the end of a word. But having worked with a lot of foreigners in England, I know that they are very grateful for the same reason we just said, that they don't. So if you ever, you should do it, it's a shame you're going home, but if you ever meet somebody, even if at uni or whatever, correct them, because they will actually appreciate it that you've corrected them rather than not. I feel rude not correcting them because it's my mother tongue.
Yeah, and if you have the opportunity to show them. I think I'd probably mention, I'd be like, just like, heads up, do you want me to like tell you if you said something wrong, and then I'll just correct you. I think I'll do that. I mean, it's a bit late now, I know, but.
Yeah, you've had men.
No, it's definitely improvement, and just getting more comfortable with it. And more, because the thing is, the way that we learn languages at school, you learn it a lot through reading and writing, so pronunciation isn't really worked on that much.
Yeah.
And also, I can tell you about fucking, argue a little bit about global warming, but I can't really say, oh, can you drop me off? And you learn weird vocab that you can't actually use day to day that much.
Yeah.
So coming, you've definitely, I definitely improved just like general chit-chat compared to random arguments that I never have in Spanish. But...
Did you see family when you went to Colombia then?
Okay, I didn't go to Colombia.
Oh, didn't you? Oh, okay.
No, because like they were a bit offended, but
oh.
I was like, I've been to Colombia. I need to see new places, and I'm planning on going next year to see them. So I was like,
When was the last time you were there? Did you used to visit growing up?
We visit every few years, maybe.
Okay, right. I'll let you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously, it's so far.
Yeah, and I now wish I had a couple of weeks at the end just to go down there, and especially because I know my Spanish is better now, just to chat with my grandma, because she doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, to be fair to you, you say just go down there for a couple of weeks. South America is huge. You're not that close, sort of thing. But you are, obviously, because you're in Latin America. Especially you were when you were close up, when you were travelling up South America. But it's if people were in like Germany, they wouldn't necessarily say, oh, I'm going to come to England because I'm there. I'm going to visit my American family tomorrow, because I mean, I made sure I flew to America a day before so I could see them, because I'd never miss out on missing family. I'm joking.
Compared to me.
I am doing that, but I was joking. That's fine.
No, I know. No, it was kind of bad. I probably should have just quit for a minute.
But to be fair, if you go next year as well, that's good.
Yeah.
Follow me then.
Yeah. Oops. No, I will go next year. What family have you got? What family have you got in the US?
My grandmother is from Ireland, and her sister moved to Boston.
Okay.
In the 50s, and my nan moved to London.
Oh, okay.
So it's my equivalent in the US. It's like my dad's cousin has cousins there. And so they live here. I'm flying to Boston, and I need to stay overnight. So it's either the airport or there, so it works out quite good. I get to
That's
see
quite
them.
Nice, yeah.
And then I'm going to see them after as well for a few more days with my brothers. But,
Wait, so where are you? By then, my mum was very much ready to go back home to England and stuff.
Did she go travelling and fall in love there?
No, so she did go travelling actually when she was young. She travelled alone when she was about 20-something, early 20s. But her and my dad met when they were both working in Germany.
Oh, okay.
And stayed there for a couple of years. And then got married in Colombia and lived there for 13 years.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, so my mum's from Norfolk for many, many generations, and she got into the local village newspaper when she married my dad, front page with a photo. I can't remember the title exactly, but the gist was along the lines of, like, Sarah goes exotic.
Ah.
It's like, oh, for God's sake, so funny. And also, it's, the worst part is that, like, the end of the story, so it's about the wedding and stuff. And, I mean, this is when Colombia was very, very bad.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story, it just ends with the fact that their wedding photographer was mugged upon leaving the wedding. So
yeah.
They had no wedding
photo.
Like, no, you fit the stereotype completely. But yeah, I just found that hilarious. It's so
funny. Did she have friends and family to go to the wedding?
Grandparents were there, my auntie.
What did your grandparents say? Or what did your mum say that your grandparents said when she said, I'm going to move to Colombia?
To be honest, I never asked about that point. I know that, like, they'd met my dad. My dad had gone over to England and stuff, and did ask my, apparently when he asked my granddad, like, if he could marry my mum, he was like, Sarah can be difficult. But I don't know, I think, because she travelled alone before as well, I mean, it would have been quite big, as she, like, you know, the stereotype of Norfolk, which is not the same anymore, but, like, quite an insular place, I think.
It's back then, I think everywhere anyway. Really.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah. And so, I mean, that is a very big... Like, I know I fully appreciated it, but I think more on this trip, like, appreciating far more, like, fuck, that's a big change.
It is, really big. Back then as well.
Back then, and she didn't speak Spanish. They both speak Spanish, English and German fluently. But she didn't speak Spanish at the time, she learned that when she went over. So I remember her telling me that, like, the wedding was done in Spanish, and she had no idea what the fuck she was swearing to. My dad had to, like, nudge her as to when, so when they had to say I do in Spanish, he had to nudge her to be like, she just had no idea what the priest was saying, which is quite funny. So they moved there, and it's very different to England. It has got a very different culture.
Yeah.
Some bits I think are so much fun. Some bits I don't like. By the end, she was ready to go home. And it's funny, my granddad, when he comes over, just says that my dad is very much an Englishman to him. He seems very, like, British in his point of view, which I don't know, I find funny.
Yeah, she could have been a bit Latina, but he could have been British, but that's why they got on
them. Maybe they got along, maybe a mix. And people see my parents, they always think my mum's a Latina, which is funny, because she's like Norfolk from generations, but they're like, so she's a Colombian? I'm like, no, the other one actually.
Do you look Colombian?
It's funny, when I'm in England, people think I look so Latina.
Yeah.
When I'm in South America, they think I look so European. People just see, like, the other
it's
side
funny,
of it.
It's funny, yeah.
And in my family, I'm definitely the most Latina of the kids.
Oh, really?
My older brother, blue-eyed, like, yeah, my little brother, I'm just definitely the most Latina-looking,
yeah.
Especially with the hair.
Yeah.
But my dad is also not a stereotypically looking Colombian. I mean, he's tall.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a mix in Colombia, but stereotypically, they're not tall. He's 6'3". He's quite pale. You know, just generally doesn't fit the stereotype. But, I am the most Latina of the kids, definitely. I don't know. It's just kind of funny. Like, it feels so normal to me when I'm like, oh, I'm Colombian. They're like, that's a weird mix. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is, but...
Yeah, you don't hear it much.
Don't hear that often. I mean, we kind of know.
Is there a Colombian community where you live?
A little bit, yeah.
So wait, you live in Buckinghamshire?
Yeah, there's not like it's not like a massive community at all. But when you like move to a different country, you kind of find the people there.
Yeah, how funny you do. Huh?
So, like they're all completely like integrated and stuff, but you just still know each other. And so the Colombian people that we know there, it's funny because my parents are the only one that's the flip, so it's all Colombian
women
and English husbands. And then just my mum and dad, like, hey guys, my mum is the English one, and my dad is Colombian. So we kind of know them there, like, not especially well, but we know who they are and stuff, and maybe meet up with them now and then. But it's funny, they always start speaking to us in Spanish, and I'm not like all their kids are bilingual because my mum is the Colombian,
yeah,
so they speak at home far more. And so I'd just be there like, English for me, sorry.
And now you can go back. Yeah.
Be like,
you can go to the Colombian community.
Yeah, I can go like that.
But there's a lot of Colombians in London, you know.
Elephant Castle.
Yeah, Elephant and Castle. Seven Sisters as well.
It's the Colombian hub. When it was the World Cup in Brazil, my parents were there to watch the Colombia game. And my parents, like, it was so much fun.
My dad
just loved it. He thought it was such a great atmosphere. Just go. And, like, Colombia getting that far in the World Cup was...
Yeah, they did brilliant.
A massive, massive deal. Like, they got a day holiday. Like, this is what I love.
Really?
Everyone got a national holiday to go watch the game. And my grandparents were over. It was my granddad's birthday. Like, everything was just so exciting. Everyone was so, like...
Yeah, no, you can't... I mean, football as well.
Yeah, football, it's the sport, the country. And, like, Rodriguez was, like, a fucking...
King
after that. It was incredible. It was a really fun thing just to have that for them.
Latinos are so like that, I feel. Like here, when Costa Rica played England the other day, I don't know if you saw.
Didn't watch it, but it was on, yeah.
I mean, it was friendly, whatever, but I went for a walk. It was a Thursday, it was on in a Thursday afternoon. And everyone just got a Costa Rica shirt on. It's like they got a public holiday every time they play.
Yeah.
And same, the goalkeeper plays for Real Madrid and they had some big matches when we've been here, and you see so many Real Madrid shirts, because obviously for Real Madrid it's like a huge biggest club in the world. And
yeah, and they've got Costa Rican there.
Yes, like, he's representing Costa Rica. Really, yeah. He's representing like Latin, Central America, maybe not Latin, but
yeah,
it's
definitely it's like so much involved, so, and also because it's rarer, it's such a. Like in Peru, they've gotten through in the World Cup, and
yeah.
The Peru football tops are everywhere. They were all just wearing one. It's like,
yeah.
In England, if we don't get through, everyone's fucking pissed off.
Yeah,
and here it's just, and like I remember as well, because it was the London Olympics. Like Britain was like, it was such a fun time over that summer, and everyone was so excited because we came third, because we had like, I don't know, 30-something golds, I think it was. And Colombia was so fucking excited because they just had 3 medals.
Really?
They had a female BMX rider who got gold, a silver in cycling, I can't remember what the other one was. But I remember going to Colombia and just being like, oh fuck, like the fact that it's so excited just as it is. I don't really like appreciate that when I'm in England. But no, that's why I'm, like if Colombia is in something, I really like, it's just like, come on, like underdog, please just come up.
Yeah.
And it means so much more to them. So it's quite nice when that happened. That was a really lovely time.
Because also, I've never met a Colombian who says, don't go to Colombia.
Yeah.
They all say, oh, you have to go to Colombia, it's beautiful. We have buildings, we have cathedrals, we have the jungle, we have the beach.
You have everything. And it's like,
coffee.
I've only seen it through the eyes of my family, so I feel like I've seen a very different side to it. Whereas when I was in South America, anyone I'd meet who knew that I was travelling like north, they were like, you have, and I'm not like every single person that like, you have to go to Colombia, you have to go to Colombia.
Yeah.
And I was like, of Colombia.
Yeah.
So they didn't know that I was from
Colombia.
They were just like, you have to go see it, like it's unbelievable. But it was really weird hearing that because I'd only seen it through the other, oh, my grandparents' house, my auntie and uncle's house. Like, haven't seen loads of the country, and people just like madly rave about it. Like,
but Colombia, I mean Colombians.
Like, you think Colombia?
Like they're so proud
of their own country. As well.
Maybe there's a bit of because. Of previous troubles in the past, people will be like, you went to Colombia? Like,
definitely.
I bet what your mum heard loads of. But, so they almost try and make an even bigger point. Maybe. I haven't been there.
No, I think so. They're very proud of them.
But they are really sort of, I think because, well, I believe they do have a big contrast because it's bigger than most people think as well. People just, I mean, your average English sort of thinks it's just little Colombia over there.
I know,
it's huge.
No, but I think going away, I know Britain's small. Like, you just don't realise how small until you're driving the bus and it's like, I fucking barely moved on the map.
Yeah.
And like, 20% now is in England, I go from top to bottom.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's really funny when people rave about Colombia, just kind of seeing that kind of side to it either. And like, we went 2-3 years ago, and we tried to do like kind of a tour of the north of it, and that was the first time my dad had seen most of Colombia because it was just too dangerous before.
Oh.
So we went to like where the family was from and they'd been like chased out by the FARC and stuff like that. Like apparently we had farms there but they had to flee when the FARC came and things. And then the first time my dad had seen most of it and it was just quite nice. Quite nice, but it is really a lovely, lovely place and like really nice people and stuff. And you just have, and someone told me the saying and they didn't remember it, so this is a very kind of gist of what it was. It was like, you go to Peru for this, you go to Chile for this, you go to Brazil for this, and then you go to Colombia for everything.
Yeah.
Because it's got, you know, the desert, the jungle, it's got it all, which is quite cool. I still need to see more of it. And I kind of want to see it, like, in a backpacking way, to see it in a different way as going with my family.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know what you mean. It's a bit like home. I know it's not home for you.
No, but yeah, I know it is.
You go to, it's good that you can go there home, but you want to go and sort of on holiday rather than
just traveling around and seeing it in a different way. But no, that I hope to do that sometime. I don't really know when. But sometime in the future, go back.
You've got time, don't worry.
Yeah. Talking about
that. El Niña.
I have like no time
left. El Niña.
Just a child. Whatever you know. But yeah, that'd be really good. Colombia is. It's definitely going up. Like, it's a lot safer, and I mean, obviously the places you don't go to, but that's with any place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think
same in London.
Same in London. I keep saying that.
But it's true.
No, it is. It's definitely true.
Right. So we can wrap this up because it's the recording has been quite long.
Yeah, I just realised. Yeah.
So we just finished lunch. We can go for dinner soon.
Yeah, I
So I finished with a few questions.
Go for it.
Quick five questions. Okay, so what is the favourite place that you've travelled to?
Chile, for the landscapes.
Good, I think that's been the most prompt answer.
I know.
But you said you were speaking about
it
earlier.
I think it's because I had that before, and I've loved every single place. I've Indonesia, the volcanoes, Philippines, the island hopping is unreal there. Peru was gorgeous as well, but I think the landscapes, the variety of landscapes in Chile, just that was incredible. That was really, really cool. Even if it is pricey.
Sounds like you spent a lot of money there.
Yeah, that hurt my budget.
Second question. Do you think that travelling has changed your perspective on life? In a couple of sentences. If so, why? Or if not,
why? I think it has. I think it's made me a lot more independent, a lot more confident, like my own. Like I can sort shit out, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I already appreciated stuff in England, but I think you do appreciate certain things even more. But also realise what we lack at the same time. But I would have people talking to me about having, like, foreigners who had gone to England and just really hating, like, the lack of appreciation that they found a lot of the time when they were there.
Yeah.
Which was quite an interesting thing to hear about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, different. Definitely.
Okay. Last question. Do you listen to podcasts, and if so, which is your favourite one?
I do not.
You do not? Oh.
But I was recently recommended, what was it called? Guilty Feminist or something? I heard that.
I haven't heard of it or listened to that one, but that's okay.
I might start a podcast though. Not start my own, start listening to them.
Start your own, why not? Do it.
I would just be so bad with keeping it up.
Don't limit yourself. Right, thank you very much for your time, Lauren.
No worries.
Hasta luego, viva Colombia. So that's it. Episode 4 complete. Lauren Cullen Gomez, thank you so much for your time and hospitality. If you liked the episode, then please leave a comment, let me know what you liked about it, or share it. If you're a solo female traveller who wants to spread the word, or if you try and encourage females to do more, then share Lauren's story. Let you know that it is safe, you can go around the world and do it. Or if you're half Colombian, half English, and your mum made the local newspaper, then let me know, I can put you in touch and they can share stories. But leave us a comment on iTunes or Stitch or Spotify, wherever you do it, helps us a lot. And share this for anyone if you want to inspire and help them to go travel or do something a bit different in their life. Until next time, chicos, hasta luego.